From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised by both Christians and unbelievers. Dr. Cairns is the minister emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into these areas of concern. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given later in this broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, Was Christ dead for 3 days and three nights?
It has long been debated if Christ died on Friday and he was raised again on Sunday, how could he have spent 3 days and three nights in the grave? How then could he have fulfilled the type of Jonah the prophet, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish? There are a couple of ways of looking at this. First of all, it can be shown from the Old Testament itself that the Jewish method of counting time differed somewhat from ours, and that any part of a day would be counted as the entire day. As I say, that can be shown from the actual usage of the Old Testament. And if that's the case, then there's no problem. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, any part of the day would be counted as the whole. But there is another way of attacking this, and I think personally that it is the truth. And that is that Christ did not die on a Friday. You've got to remember that the Jews had a weekly Sabbath. That was on the seventh day of the week. That was a Saturday. But in all the feasts of the Jews, there were other Sabbaths and holy days. So that in any one of those weeks around the special feasts of the Jews, there was more than one Sabbath in a week. And that was certainly true in the time of Passover. The Passover day was a Sabbath day. Now, if you keep in mind that we have two Sabbaths in that crucifixion week, you'll not jump to the conclusion that many do, that because Christ was crucified on the day before the Sabbath, that it had to be Friday. I personally believe it was not. I believe that Christ died late on Wednesday, and that gives him 3 days and three nights in the grave, and he rises with the dawn on the Lord's day. Two different ways of looking at the same problem. Thankfully, there's nothing terribly crucial here, because either way does actually solve the problem. Personally, I believe that he did not die on a Friday. But even if he did, biblically, it could still be said he rose the third day from the grave.
Thank you.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tamassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's First Epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he continues to deal with godliness as one of the characteristics of Christian leadership. Now, with the message for today, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
It grieves me that there are certain things that in the past were understood to be not what the Christian would involve themselves in that are now becoming the norm. It grieves me. It grieves me not because of some legalistic aspect of piety, but because deep down in your heart, as someone called to care for the souls of men, you just know within your heart of hearts this is not helping in the main objective of their existence. What's the main objective? Likeness to Christ. It's not helping. We have seminary lecturers, teachers, and reformed circles that are listening to Led Zeppelin and all sorts of rock music and all the garbage and trying to sanctify the Beatles and all things in the world. That's just one area. I'm not even going to get into a whole host of areas you could get into. The Christian is different, set apart, and it should be seen, ye are witnesses. You could see it. The normal practices and conduct of the day, you did not see in our lives. We set ourselves apart. Young people, do not learn your practices merely from other people. Don't say to yourselves, well, he does it, I can do it. She does it, I can do it. Bring everything into this light. If the Lord Jesus Christ was right here with me now, would I be comfortable giving myself to this? Would I be likely, if he was in my home right now, to not be doing this or not listening to this or watching this or whatever? The Lord calls us to be separate. He calls us to be holy. But not just holy, He uses the term justly. That is to say, righteously. That's the word that can be translated that way, the sense of righteousness. And it refers to obedience. Paul's life wasn't merely separated from things, it was aligned to something. It was aligned to the Word of God. And when he says here that they walked holily, that means they were separate. And he says justly, that says we aligned our lives with the Word of God. We took the law of God and made it the pattern of our living. What we wondered in terms of living, if we would think to ourselves, what is the will of God? We would open up the Scriptures. Now, of course, this is seen evidently even after he left Thessalonica and he went to Berea and he taught the Word of God, and the Bereans were more noble. Why? Because he opened up the Scriptures and to see, to compare whether what Paul's saying aligns with the Word of God. Now that can be done in terms of the Gospel. It can be done in terms of what the way of salvation is and what God has instructed in terms of his path of saving men. It can be done there. But it also can be done in terms of what God expects of his people. Someone says, I can do this or I can do that, or I can't do this or I can't do the other. And what you do is you open up the Word of God. And this morning in our adult Sunday school, we were considering the aspect of alcohol and dealing with that. Not to rehash it, but I was presenting the case from Scripture in terms of the position of this church and the wisdom of it. And going to the Word of God, not merely turning to the ideas of men and history and so on and so forth, just opening up the Word. Paul says in terms of his life, you're witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly. There was an obedience in our lives. He pulls these two ideas of separation and obedience, he pulls them together in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read verses 33 and 34, where he says, in terms of separation, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now there's an exhortation in terms of separation. If you won't separate from evil communications, it will corrupt you. It will corrupt you. I know you think that it's not that which goes into a man that defiles him, but that which comes out. That's true. That's true. In terms of what you're judged by. But that does not mean to say that what goes in doesn't influence in some way what will come out. There is a separation that is right for the people of God. Be not deceived about this, Paul says. In other words, he's saying that there's a tendency to be deceived on this point. To think that you can walk a path and not be influenced by those around you. He says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Birds of a feather flock together. Those that you hang around, and the way they speak, and the way they act, and what they do, and everything else, the way they think, you will become. You will. So there's a sense of separation drawn out there. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You need to remove yourself from that. And then he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness and sin not. And there's the obedience. That's what he says here, justly. Awake to righteousness. Sometimes believers, professing believers, need to awake to righteousness. It's like they're sleeping. They're kind of drifting along thinking, it doesn't really matter how I'm living. It doesn't matter. I can just rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And his impure righteousness to me doesn't call me to live in a certain way. It doesn't matter how I live. And the temptation then to this, what you hear in terms of hyper-grace, as it's being defined by some these days, hyper-grace, it leads to all sorts of folly. Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not. It's not awaking to the righteousness of Christ in terms of his impure righteousness. It's awaking to the call to righteousness and put in terms of the negative, sin not. Stop sinning. Give up sin. Obey. And Paul says, this is how we live. Here, witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly. Now, in your distinguishing those two, the two aspects of their living, one has an emphasis on the upward, that is the God word, holy, being separate, unto God. And then the other has the emphasis on the outward, or the man word, and that is just behavior. The way we live, according to God's word. There's an overlap, but the emphasis and distinction is still there. And you combine both of them, and you're left with the third. Holy and justly and unblameably. In other words, no blame could be placed upon them. That's not to say that people were not trying to put blame upon him, because this is the context of what he's saying. He's defending his character and conduct. And people are saying things about him, and that's why he defines carefully the way in which he is unblameable. Unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Those that believe, those that have the root of the matter there, that know the Lord, you know how we lived among you. Our enemies may say something else. They may cause covetous. They may say we're using flattering words, and they may say we're trying to please men, and they may say all of these things, and we sought glory of men. They may say that, but you know, you're a witness, God also, how holy and justly and unblameably. There can be no blame in these areas upon our lives. We have lived in the right manner before you. He appeals therefore to the church to remember the truth of the matter. Later, the Apostle Paul would reflect that desire for them to be as he was, as his party was. They were holy, just, and unblameable, and he reflects that desire for them. Chapter 3, verse 13. What does he say there? Chapter 3, 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. And then also chapter 5, verse 23, he says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a sense in which those desires of the Apostle Paul are really emanating out of something that he lived himself. And he wants them to enjoy the same, and longs for that and prays to that end for them. The men that taught, and this is the point, the men that taught, that came into Thessalonica with the gospel, instructed the people of God, those that were converted, they were holy men. That's what verse 10 makes plain. They were holy men. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. They were holy. And this is a characteristic of leadership. As we said in adult Sunday school this morning, we made that point that those that are called to that position of leadership are there in the society, in the community, to present the trajectory for others who are under them. Their lives are meant to be such that those that are under their care should be drawn upwards toward them. And you see this manifest in Israel and Judah very clearly, that whenever that king did right that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, it drew the nation out in the right way. When he went against the things of God, generally the nation went the same path. Like priests, like people. So there is an example that leaders have, an example of godliness. But it is for all believers. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Flip over a couple of pages in your Bible. We'll not read all the verses, but in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul addresses different categories within the church. There are aged men, verse 2, aged women, verse 3, young woman, verse 4, young man, verse 6, and then an exhortation to the leader himself in verse 7. To Titus, Paul says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. There's the point we're saying. You're leading here, Titus. Make yourself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, he's exhorting Titus to be the same as he says they were when they were in Thessalonica. Now, you go on, he addresses servants, verse 9. And we read from verse 11 to the end. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, he's given categories of different men, different types of people. Aged men, aged women, young men, young women, so on. All people, even servants, the lowest. Those that are basically owned by others. The grace of God has appeared to bring salvation to all, has appeared to all men. And what does it teach us? Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 12 is giving essentially what verse 10 of the passage we're looking at this morning says. It is a certain way that Paul and those that were with him lived. And where did they get this from? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. The gospel instructs us in what God has provided for sinners. That's true. The gospel shows us that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a representative, an advocate, one who has come whose name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It instructs us that we are not in a hopeless state of affairs if we will only look to Jesus Christ and live. But it also instructs us that we should deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, note this, from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The gospel works. It works in our lives, not just judicially, but practically. The gospel gives power. It changes men. It makes them new creatures in Christ so that the old things pass away and all things are become new. This is what we should expect when we bring the gospel to men. Not merely some vain profession of faith that doesn't get to the root of the matter, which is God's end goal to make us holy, to make us like himself. Which begins now, at the moment of regeneration. We glory in those testimonies. And those of you who are here this morning who have come out of darkness and been in years of sin and debauchery and filth and selfishness, and then Christ comes in and saves you and transforms you, and you've known that power from the first day. Others of you, of course, are more like Timothy. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you've been preserved from the real filth of the world, but at the same time you've understood you're a sinner and you've come to Christ for salvation. But it's a sense of transformation. That's the point, that there should be a change. And Paul was transformed. This man who calls himself the chief of sinners, he's able to call heaven and earth to witness, ye are witnesses. And God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now ask yourselves the question, how do we behave? How do we behave? Are we conscious of a watching world? We should be. But even more so, we should be conscious of a watching heaven.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.